السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayat 98 to 102 of Surah Ali Imran today. Inshallah, we'll begin with the word meanings of these ayat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul, say, ya ahla, ya means O, ahla, people, al-kitabi, al means the, and kitab, of the book, lima, why, takfuruna, you all disbelieve. This comes from the word kufr, that's the root word, and that means disbelief. Da in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So this is a verb, and takfurun means you all disbelieve or you all hide the truth. Be with ayati, verses or the signs, Allahi, of Allah. Wa, while, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shahidun, is a witness, ala, upon, ma, whatever, ta'amaloon, you all do. Ayn, mim, lam is the root word, and that means to do something. Da in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So ta'amaloon, you all do. Qul, say, this is a command, and again, it's the same as in the beginning of the last ayah, and it's singular. Okay, so it's a command for one person, and whenever we see that in the Quran, this is meant to address Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So qul, say, ya ahla, ya, oh, ahla, people, al-kitabi, of the book, lima, why, tasudduna, you all hinder. Suddu is the root word here, sudda, and that means to hinder, to stop. Okay, in such a way that the other does not even realize. Da means you in the beginning, and una ending makes this word plural. So tasudduna, you all hinder. So lima tasudduna, why do you all hinder, or why do you all stop? An, from, sabili, way or path, Allahi, of Allah, man, who, amana, he believed. This comes from the word iman, which means to believe or have faith. And amana is a verb, and it's singular, third person, amana, he believed. Tabughunaha, tabughuna, you all seek, ha, in it, ivajan, as crookedness or deviation. Wa, while, antum, all of you, shuhada'u, are witnesses. This is plural for the word shaheed that we covered in the previous ayah, in ayah 98. So shuhada is plural, and it means witnesses. Wa and ma, not, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bighafilin. The bi in the beginning means at all. Ghafil means unaware. So bighafilin, at all unaware, amma. An means from or about, ma, what, ta'amaloon, you all do. Ya ayyuha alladhina, ya ayyuha means o, alladhina, those who, amanu, they believed. Now, this comes from iman, it's a verb, and it's plural because it ends in vowel sukun following, followed by the silent aleph in the end. So, amanu, they believed, in, if tuti ou, you all obey. And again, we know this is plural because it ends in vowel sukun followed by that alif. Da in the beginning means you. So tuti ou, you all obey. Fariqan, a group. Min from alladhina, those who utu, they were given. This is passive. The utu, they were given. Al kitab, the book. Yaruddukum, yaruddu, they turn back. Kum, all of you. Ba'da, after. Imanikum, iman means belief. Kum, yours. Kafirin, as ones who disbelieve. This comes from kufr, which means disbelief, and kafir is a disbeliever. Ina ending just makes this word plural. So kafirin as disbelievers. Wa and kaifa, how? Takfuruna, you all disbelieve. So it's the same word, kufr, begins with ta, so it means you, and una ending makes it plural. So takfuruna, you all disbelieve or deny. Wa, while, antum, all of you. Tutla is recited or are recited. The ta in the beginning of this word refers to the ayat that are coming up, the words, the word ayat that's coming up. So tutla, recited or is or are recited. Alaykum, alay, upon, kum, all of you. Ayat, this is plural of ayah. Ayah means one verse. One verse of the Quran or one sign, and this is ayat, meaning verses or signs. Allahi, of Allah, wa and fi kum, fi in kum, all of you, or among all of you. Rasuluhu, rasul, messenger, hu, his. And the pronoun hu refers to Allah. So rasuluhu means his messenger, meaning the messenger of Allah. Wa and man, whoever, ya'tasim, he holds fast, he holds firmly. Billahi, bi, means with or to. Allahi, Allah. Fa qad, fa, so qad, indeed. Hudiya, he has been guided. This comes from the word huda, which means guidance, and this is in the passive tense. So hudiya, he was guided. Ila, to siratin, a way or path. Mustaqim, one straight. Ya ayyuha, o alladhina, those who amanu, they believed. Ittaqu, you all adopt taqwa. That means, taqwa is the root word. This is a command and it's plural because it ends in vowel and alif, and it addresses a bunch of people. Right, so all the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses in this ayah, and he says, ittaqu, you all have taqwa. You all safeguard yourselves or be conscious of Allah, Allah. Haqqa, as much as right or is right. Tuqatihi, tuqati means safeguarding or being conscious of he, him, meaning Allah. Wa and la, do not. Tamutunna, you all definitely die. This comes from the word maut, and that means death. Da in the beginning means you, and we know this word ends in a nun mushaddad, right? So it adds more emphasis to this word. So tamutunna, all of you definitely die. Illa, except. Wa, while, antum, you all, muslimun, are ones who submit. So this word comes from Islam, and Islam means submission to Allah. Muslim, adding a meem to the beginning of that word, is Muslim, right? And Muslim means somebody who submits. Okay, and that becomes a noun. And the una ending, in this case here, means that this word is plural. So muslimun are ones who submit. Alhamdulillah. That's it for our word meanings. Now, inshallah, we'll start with the tafsir of these ayat. Starting with ayah number 98. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kul ya ahlal kitab. Say, O people of the book, لِمَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Why do you deny the revelations of Allah, the ayat of Allah? وَاللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ عَلَى مَا تَعْمَلُونَ. While Allah is a witness to your actions. Why do you disbelieve knowingly and stop others from following Islam too? Why do you do that? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Muslims here that the people of the book don't accept Islam, even though they know the truth, and then they also try to stop Muslims from practicing too. This has happened all throughout history. The Jews always plotted against the Muslims. Whenever Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did dawah, they tried somehow to stop his efforts. So they plotted against the Muslims at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was around, and afterwards too, they've always done this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking them a question here when he says, why do they do this? Okay, he is actually telling us, he's telling the Muslims that this is how they are. They deny the ayat of Allah when they know that it's the truth from him. Do they actually think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know what they do? قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. Say, O people of the book. And again, we've covered many times before, people of the book addresses the Jews and the Christians. Okay? So, لِمَ تَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ تَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. Why do you obstruct the believers from the path of Allah and desire that they follow the crooked way? This means that the Ahli Kitab, or the people of the book, try to create doubts in people's minds when they want to accept Islam. Whenever they see that anybody's interested in accepting Islam or following it, they try to create doubts in their minds. They look for crookedness in it to make people turn away from the right path. We learned in the last juz already how they used to accept Islam in the morning and leave in the evening. They used to pretend to accept Islam in the morning, right? Just to create doubts in the minds of the Muslims. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making the Muslims aware of how the Ahli Kitab are. He doesn't tell Muslims to stay away from them, that, oh, they're bad, so just stay away from them. He doesn't say that. When it comes to work or when dealing with them, we are allowed to do that. But what he wants to do is he wants Muslims to know that they do plot to turn Muslims away from Islam. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So they come up with points to make Muslims go astray. They twist the teachings to make them mean what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not intend for them to mean. For example, there are so many fake websites today that they claim are explanations of the Quran. They say it's the tafsir of the Quran, but they're actually just there and they're meant to mislead people who want to learn more about Islam. So people go to those websites thinking they're learning about Islam, but they are being misled. That is how the Ahli Kitab have always been. They claim to be very knowledgeable because they had the knowledge of their religion, but they don't accept Islam. And they hinder others from the path of Allah too. وَأَنْتُمْ شُهَدَىٰ. While you are witnesses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Ahli Kitab, the people of the book, you disbelieve in the book of Allah and hinder others from the right path when you know the truth. And you know the signs of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from your book, but you still don't allow others to believe. So they strive to make it appear crooked, even though they know they're wrong when they do this. They say things about Islam just to lead people astray. وَمَاللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is not unmindful of what you do. He is aware of everything they do. If only they understood this and changed their ways and accepted Islam, they would actually get double the reward. But they plot against the truth because of jealousy, because they're jealous, and just to be able to keep their powerful positions that they're not willing to give up, they plot, and they will end up in Jahannam because of it. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the believers in ayah 100, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers. So we should all listen closely to the order that's coming up because he is addressing us. In tuti'u fariqan min alladhina utul kitaba. If you were to obey a group of those who were given the book, because we just learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just said to the Ahl al-Kitab, why do you turn Muslims away from Islam? Or why do you create doubts in their minds by objecting to things Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did? Or an order of Allah? Or saying things to confuse them? Why do you do that? This is what he said to the Ahl al-Kitab. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers that if they obey a group of the Ahl al-Kitab who does this, and that group is the knowledgeable people of the Ahl al-Kitab, the scholars who had all the knowledge, who knew what's in the books. If the Muslims obey them, يَرُدُّوكُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ كَافِرِينَ, they would turn you all back from belief to disbelief. The Ahl al-Kitab won't tell you to become Jewish, okay? But they won't let you continue being Muslims either. The Muslim Ummah was sent as leaders for mankind, and they were supposed to guide people. We'll learn more about this later, inshallah. But if the Muslim Ummah starts to follow the Ahl al-Kitab, when the Ahl al-Kitab have become the Maghdubi alayhim and the Dualleen, as we learned in Surah Al-Baqarah. We learned this in Surah Al-Fatiha way in the beginning when we started the Quran, right? So when the Muslim Ummah starts to follow them, when they have become the Maghdubi alayhim, those who earned the wrath of Allah, and the Dalleen, those who went astray. Maghdubi alayhim are the Jews, okay? And the Dalleen are the Christians. So we learned about them in detail in Surah Al-Fatiha, how they became the Maghdubi alayhim and Dalleen. And if the Muslims were to start following them now, they would also become like them. So they would be like the Maghdubi alayhim and the Dalleen. So Muslims have been instructed not to obey them. Okay? They have to avoid following them. Unfortunately, Muslims today try to follow their ways. Exactly. Okay? The ways of the Jews and the Christians. They think that they can only succeed in this world if they follow the Jews and the Christians, even though Allah warned us not to do that. Obeying people who belong to those two groups is dangerous because they try to come up with things to create doubts in the minds of people, okay, the minds of the Muslims, and then they try to confuse the Muslims. So Muslim people risk losing their faith when they follow the disbelievers. Because once someone starts to have doubts about Islam, they are no longer Muslim. So we have to be really careful. And the problem with Muslims nowadays is that they don't know much about Islam. Okay? They don't know about their own religion or the seerah or the way of life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he is supposed to be our role model, we don't know so much about him. So others are easily able to lead us astray. Other people can create doubts and poison the minds of the Muslims against Islam very easily, just because we don't know enough about our own religion. So, يَرُدُّوكُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ كَافِرِينَ. They turn you back from belief to disbelief. Usually, people don't say anything bad about Islam clearly. Okay, they won't say it straight out, but they question things to make Muslims think badly about Islam. They ask questions to create doubt. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about this. There is a hadith that a person will be a true believer in the morning and he will be a disbeliever in the evening. Astaghfirullah. Or a person would be a true believer in the evening and a disbeliever in the morning. This happens to people sometimes when they sit down to read something, whether it's on the internet or just to read otherwise. They start as Muslims. When they start reading, they are Muslim, but they become disbelievers by the time they finish. And this does happen. So if you follow a group of people from the Ahl-e Kitab, you will not be believers anymore. One thing we have to understand is that people obey others, or they want to follow others when they are impressed by them. They are inspired by them and they think that they're so great. So they accept whatever those people say and they want to be like them. And normally people don't listen to others if they don't think they are important, because they don't think it's worth it, right? So that shows us that the Muslims today are so impressed by the Ahl-e Kitab, by the Jews and the Christians, that they start following their ways. Even though there were times in history when people all over the world were fascinated by Islam and its followers. SubhanAllah. People wanted to be just like the Muslims then. But now, it's the Muslims who copy others. And they follow others in what they eat and drink and how they dress and everything else too. So many Muslims today are just Muslim by name. And they listen to others when others are objecting to things about Islam. They listen to them. When same-sex marriage was legalized here, and in many other states and countries, many Muslims were happy with it. They didn't have any problems with it. And even those Muslims who live in Muslim countries were happy with the new laws. And that happens because Muslims are fascinated by the Jews and Christians in all other ways. So they don't consider them to be the maghdubi alayhim or the dhalin. And they accept everything that they now accept. Okay? Even though these things were considered bad in their religion too. But they have changed it, as we learned many times before. Right? That's why they became the maghdubi alayhim and the dhalin. And now Muslims are starting to accept things that they have accepted over time. Even though the Jews and Christians have gone astray themselves. They are lost. So should we be trying to follow them? If Muslims actually understood what they read every single day in Surah Al-Fatiha, whenever we pray in Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, O Allah, guide us to the straight path, to the path of those who you bestowed your favors on, and not the maghdubi alayhim and the dhalin. We say that every time we pray. Each time, in each rakat, when we are praying salah, right? So if we understood what we're saying, we would never want to follow the Jews and Christians. But most Muslims don't think of them as the dhalin. Okay, they don't think they are misled or they've gone astray. Instead, they try to copy them as if they are the most guided ones of all. They're the rightly guided ones. Many Muslims want to learn the languages they speak and dress and act like them just because they're impressed by them, not for any other benefit. Allahu Akbar. But the Ahl-e Kitab do so many things to create doubt in the minds of Muslims, even though they don't say straight out that they don't like Islam. According to Hadith, Shaitan comes to every one of you and says, who created this and that? Okay, he keeps asking about all these different things, like who created you? And you keep responding, Allah did. And then he says, okay, then who created so-and-so? And you say, Allah did. So he keeps questioning and you think, Allah, Allah, each time. Till he questions, who created your Lord? Na'udhu billah. When he comes to that, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to seek refuge in Allah and keep away from such thoughts. Because that's how shaitan attacks people. Okay? And this is what the Jews and Christians do too when they try to mislead people. And this hadith teaches us something very important. And that is that not every question needs to be answered. And not every thought should be entertained. It's not right to go looking for answers to everything. And anyone who asks questions like that is actually from the forces of shaitan. That person is not asking you things like that to gain knowledge. He is going to lead you astray. That's what he's trying to do. It's fine when scholars discuss something, okay, because they study Islam in depth. But when it comes to other people, okay, when they discuss things like this, they look for easy targets so they can mislead them. And lots of people become their targets because they don't know enough about Islam, so they are easily confused and lose their faith. So those who want to mislead you will not rest until they take your faith away from you. Because that is what they have always wanted to do. But there are others from the Ahl-e Kitab, from the people of the book, who do not plot against the Muslims. And they're not jealous of Muslims, whether that's your neighbors or co-workers or others around you. And in that case, you can spend time with them with the intention of teaching them about Islam or telling them something about it. But as for those who try to lead you astray, we are not supposed to be good friends with them or listen to their arguments against Islam. If they ask questions to confuse you, remember that you do not need to answer everything, because there is no answer to certain questions. We don't need to answer them. Like the question Shaitan asks that we just learned about in the hadith about na'udhu billah, who created Allah. There is no answer to that. And not every question has to be answered. We have to remember that. And when we declared right at the beginning of the Quran that we believe in the ghaib, right? We believe in things that we don't see, things that we don't understand, the unseen, that is the ghaib. Remember, we learned right at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah? يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, they believe in the ghaib, right? So once we declared that we believe in the ghaib, we don't need to seek answers to everything. After having belief in the ghaib or the unseen, we cannot start doubting Islam due to things they point out. There is no question about it after having belief in the ghaib. And all we have to say is that we believe, and that's it. That's enough for us. We believe whatever Islam tells us. And there's goodness and wisdom in all of the orders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. Whether we understand them or not, they are good for us. But we mess up when we get worried because of the criticism of others. When they criticize us, we get worried. Even if we don't know how to respond to them, we should not start having doubts about Islam. because that's how they poison people's minds when Muslims don't have enough knowledge of Islam. So we have to try to learn more about our religion and teach our kids also, so we can protect ourselves against this. وَكَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ? And how can you turn away from belief? They try to turn you away, but how can you do that? وَأَنْتُمْ تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ? When Allah's revelations are being recited to you. وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُهُ? And Allah's messenger is among you. So how can you listen to people who want to mislead you? How can you follow them when Allah's ayat are recited upon you and the messenger of Allah is there among you? What can we infer from this ayah? That if anyone connects to these two things mentioned here, the ayat of Allah and the messenger, they will be protected against disbelief. They will be safe. So as long as we have these two things to turn to, there is no excuse of being misguided. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was around the Sahaba, right? The Sahaba, his companions, were around him. And they were the first to be addressed, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the ayat of Allah are recited upon you and his Rasul, his messenger is among you, he is speaking to them first, right? So the Prophet of Allah was among them and the ayat were recited upon them. So how could any of them have disbelieved? The hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes so well here. He said, I'm leaving two things behind that will not let you go astray. As long as you hold on to these two things. And those things are the Quran and the hadith. Or the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means that anyone who leaves these two things will be lost. They will go astray. That is what this ayah tells us also. Ayatullah means the Quran, and the Rasul was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is what he left for us too. The Quran and his seerah, his way of life. This ayah must be followed till the day of judgment. The Quran and the Sunnah, the way of life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are basically our guards. As long as we stick to them, they protect us against disbelief. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not around now, but his sunnah is still there for us to follow. And we can follow his hadith, things he said, and learn about his seerah. All these things have been preserved for us. So it's as if he's still around today because we can access all these things very easily. His whole life has been preserved for us. And following the way he did things is like holding fast to the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should learn about his life and how he dealt with others and the things he did. We can easily find out all this through his seerah, okay? When we study his life. And that is the only way that we can protect ourselves from disbelief. We have to stick to these two things. That's how important they are. The Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And only Muslims who don't know about their own religion are the ones who are misled by others. So knowledge of religion includes the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have to study those two things if we want to protect our iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking people how they can deny the truth when they have the Quran and the Sunnah to guide them. And sometimes Muslims are led astray by others who question things about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. they create doubts about him when he is our guide. And then if people start doubting, if they have certain questions about him, na'udhubillah, or start having doubts about him, then it's very easy for others to make Muslims lose their faith. They make him look like he was at fault for certain things. And if anyone believes that, their basic beliefs are messed up. Okay? So obviously, they can easily be led astray then. Because belief in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the most important parts of Islam. Therefore, it's important that we learn about his life so we can follow his sunnah. And we have to hold on to the Quran. It was recited upon them, the Sahaba, morning and evening. So we should make the Quran an important part of our lives too. We should learn it and understand it if we want to protect our iman. That is the only way we can protect ourselves and our offspring. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, "Tuba liman ra'ani wa amanan." Blessed are those who see me and believe in me. Because the hellfire will not touch any Muslim who saw Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and died in that state of iman. So that makes us think that the Sahaba were so lucky because they saw him. And we can't see him. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever believes in me, even without seeing me," he said, "Tuba sab'a marat." Blessed is that person 7 times. Subhanallah. "Liman lam yarani thumma amanan." For the one who didn't see me, but still believed in me. Subhanallah. We live so far away from the place where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as the messenger. And it's been so long since he passed. But this is good news for those who believe in him, even without seeing him. Of course, the Sahaba were safe for believing in him and having met him. But Allah is so just. He is so fair. So he protected those who came later and believed in him also. When Islam first began, it was strange and people objected to the new ways. And even today, anyone who follows the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is considered strange among society. People look at them weird, as if they are abnormal. People think that anyone who sticks to the Quran or the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is crazy. They're fine with someone practicing a little bit, being somewhat practicing. But if someone tries to follow deen properly, even Muslims have an issue with those people. They can't even tolerate it. So people are shocked to see anyone following Islam properly. Even though they're fine with people learning about Islam and doing all the basics, they start criticizing anyone who tries to follow the sunnah closely. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam initiated as something strange, and it would revert to its old position of being strange. So blessed are the strangers. A Sahabi asked, a companion of his asked, "O Messenger of Allah, who are the strangers, the social misfits? Who are they?" There are many answers to this according to hadith, but one narration says that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered him by saying, "These are the people who keep my sunnah alive, and they tell others about it also." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here that the sunnah is a means of protection for us. So we have to stick to the sunnah. We have to revive the sunnah in our homes, in society, and our surroundings. Then it would be as if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still among us. But if we forget about his life and substitute it with the ways of others that we're impressed by, instead of following him, we start following them, we cannot protect our faith. وَمَنْ يَعْتَسِمْ بِاللَّهِ, and whoever holds fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, then indeed he will be guided towards the right way. Then that person will be protected. He will be safe. We can't physically hold on to Allah, but we have to hold fast to the words of Allah, which is the Quran. And so many Muslims don't spend any time learning the Quran and the Sunnah. That's the reason so many people go astray. They have doubts about Islam, and sometimes they even become atheists. And many people actually ask if it's fard for them to learn the Quran. That do we have to do this? They think it's okay to just read the Quran in Arabic without understanding it. But in that case, what happens? Just because they don't understand it, others are able to create doubts in their mind about religion. They are easily led astray because they don't know much about it. And so are their kids when they are unable to answer the basic questions that kids ask sometimes. Remember, the Muslim Ummah is supposed to be guiding others to the right path. So we have to learn about our deen. This is a must. We all have to try to fulfill this responsibility instead of thinking that somebody else will do it. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand in prayer at night, crying, making dua for this ummah. So how can we be so careless about seeking protection for ourselves? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, how can you disbelieve and go astray? This also goes for those who have doubts about Islam and they become distant from it. How can they let that happen when they have the verses of Allah and the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And those two things explain everything. Only someone who holds fast to these two things is hudiya, meaning he is guided to the right path. He has huda, the guidance. Okay, so he's guided to the right path to get to his destination. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that person the way, makes them follow it, and gets them to their destination. Subhanallah. And that's for someone who holds on to the words of Allah and the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam firmly, as if his life depends on it. He doesn't let go. Whoever holds fast to Allah, فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى, then indeed he has grabbed hold of the strong handhold of Allah. Then that person cannot be lost. Allah will not let him go. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O believers. Now, another command is coming up for the believers. اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, fear Allah. اتَّقُوا means to have taqwa, to adopt taqwa. What does that mean? Because Allah is telling the believers to have taqwa. This word is repeated many times in the Quran, so we have to understand it properly. Taqwa means to safeguard oneself, to protect yourself. So what do people try to save themselves from? Usually things that are dangerous, right? People try to avoid those things so they don't lead to destruction. That is taqwa. Okay, it means to be conscious of Allah, to have taqwa of Allah. So that person tries to avoid anything that displeases Allah. And he tries to do whatever Allah approves of. Anyone who is careful about these things in life has taqwa. And he is considered one of the muttaqeen, those with taqwa. The muttaqeen are so afraid of making mistakes that would cause Allah to be upset with them. They don't want to make any mistakes. And they don't want to miss the chance to do any good deeds that can get Allah to approve of what they did. Taqwa is not something that we adopt when we are old, because it's easy to do it then, or when things are going smoothly in life. Many times people are fine. They are muttaqeen, but they forget all about taqwa when problems arise. That is not what we're supposed to do. We have to have taqwa in all aspects of our lives, at all times, wherever we are. And if we really care to avoid upsetting Allah and wish to do things to get His approval, it means we are of the muttaqeen. And if we don't, then we have to work on it. Work on our taqwa, to adopt taqwa. And that doesn't mean someone with taqwa never makes mistakes or that they never sin. The muttaqeen commit sins too. They mess up sometimes and they miss chances to do good deeds as well. They are not perfect because they're human. They're not angels, but they try to do their best to avoid sins. They try their best. Okay, and they also try their best to do good deeds all throughout life. That's why they're the muttaqeen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, ittaqullah, have taqwa of Allah. Note that He doesn't tell us to fear the creation or to fear people. Be afraid of what people are going to think and do things just to please them. He doesn't guide us to do that. But sadly, this is what we care about so much. We want to do things to please others, even if that requires crossing the limits set by Allah. But if we did things to please Allah, that would actually benefit us. We don't need to have taqwa of people. We have to have taqwa of Allah. And when we say that we should fear Allah, it doesn't mean that He is scary, that, oh, I'm so scared of Allah. He's not something to fear in that way. It just means that we should be afraid of Him being upset with us. Okay, because that would lead to our destruction if He's upset with us. We face new challenges in our lives all the time. Right? New things happen. There's challenges all around. How do we react to those situations then? Do we prioritize Allah over everything else? Do we prioritize making Allah happy? Or do we just think about others? If we worry about just pleasing Allah, we are fine. And then we can be content that Allah is pleased with us. No matter how difficult that test may have been, at least we would know then that we tried our best just to please Allah. As long as we tried our best to do that, it doesn't matter, even if others get upset with us or whatever the results are. This is what we need to focus on the most in all phases of life. If you are able to do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you glad tidings of Jannah. Because He says, "Wa'idat lil muttaqin," it was prepared for those who are conscious of Allah. It's there already, waiting for those with taqwa. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. O believers, fear Allah as He should be feared, as is His right to be feared. That means avoid everything that angers him and do the most we can of what he approves. Do the best we can out of all the things he wants us to do. How much taqwa should we have of Allah? How conscious should we be of him? Well, he is the one who gave us life. He is the one who sustains us, who provides for us each second of our lives. And he lets us breathe. He gave us everything we have. So he has to be the most important one in our lives. So we have to care about his likes or dislikes the most. Of course, as humans, we are weak. And we cannot have taqwa of him as he deserves. And we make mistakes. But at least we should try to adopt taqwa to the best of our ability. Just do the best you can. We should be conscious of what he approves of and stay away from whatever he dislikes. We must remember that when we do anything in life, it should be done to please Allah. Okay, and we cannot upset him. So anything he disapproves of, we have to try to stay away from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers to have that much taqwa of him, as is his right. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not die except while you are Muslims, meaning those who have completely submitted to him. That is what Muslims are. People who have completely submitted to Allah. So he says, don't die unless you are Muslim. And so we learn from this that Islam is not something we can do part-time, like only in Ramadan or in the masjid, or when everything is going very smoothly in life and everything is easy, so it's easy for us to practice. Okay, we can't do that. We have to submit and practice Islam all throughout our lives. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to not die unless we are obedient. None of us knows when we're going to die. So we should be prepared at all times. Even if we had not been obedient to Allah in the past, we have to be obedient from now on. Now that we understand this, we should obey him and continue obeying him until death comes. We have to struggle continuously to be able to do that, because shaitan tries to mislead us, and so does our own nafs, our soul. These two things always try to get in the way of us completely submitting to Allah. And we can't be lazy when it comes to doing good deeds, or think that we've done enough by obeying in some ways, so we need a break. We can't do that. We have to try to obey him with all matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us to not die unless we are in a state of submission to him. That means that we have no other choice. We must die in a state of Islam. And that can only happen if we spend every single day of our lives in a state of submission. Because we don't know when death will come. We have to surrender and give up what we want, our desires, or what we think, or what our dreams are. We have to humble ourselves before Allah and just be obedient to him. That is Islam. Islam is actually the opposite of being free, having free will, and disobeying and doing whatever we feel like doing. Okay? So we submit to Allah, and when we do that, we basically say that what I feel or what I think is not important at all compared to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So I am going to do what Allah wants me to do. We should learn from the example of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They completely submitted. They got worried when they heard this ayah, and they went to ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam how they could have enough taqwa, as is the right of Allah, because His right is so great. Allah has the greatest right over us. They said it's not possible. And they were so worried about not being able to do this, because they actually implemented the ayat in their lives. Whatever they learned, they tried to follow. We learned the ayat too, but we don't think much about implementing them in our lives. Allahu Akbar. So they were worried about being able to do this, about having as much taqwa of Allah as they should have. We know that nobody is able to have enough taqwa of Allah as He deserves. But at least we should keep trying to do the best we can. Okay? And the two things we need to remember with this is stay away from anything that He disapproves of. Okay, don't do anything that He doesn't like, and do things for His approval. Okay, because everything we do in life is just for His approval. If He says He has approved of what we did on the Day of Judgment, if He says you've passed and He approves, then we will succeed. Right? Only then we can succeed. So all we need to do is work for His approval. Just try your best and stay away from anything that He does not like. Anything that He has forbidden. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us among the muttaqeen and help us adopt taqwa. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته